Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
Yeah.
And we
did a lot about elections because it is primary day.
Yeah, so just getting to that season.
Brought up voting.
Every 4 years we lose our minds. It's mandatory.
Yeah.
But we did have a city council meeting last night. And,
mm-hmm.
and since we weren't on last week, it was also the previous one.
Right.
So there may be a few things worth mentioning that
mm-hmm.
went down. So as we mentioned, they extended the tree protection ordinance, so that's done through December 31st or until they come up with something better.
Right.
One thing that was sort of been in the offing for a little while, actually not that long, but it was a proposed what they call welcoming community ordinance.
Right. Is that new language for that? I mean, is it about this, or is it a whole new ordinance, or is it just a new?
It's a new ordinance. It's a new ordinance, but the thing is, there's a bit of a history going back to, I believe, about 1985.
To do with sanctuary city.
So they have these sanctuary city resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing binding in a resolution.
I see.
The city council would say it is the policy of the city council that we should blah 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 blah, and you know, and police shouldn't cooperate in certain ways, but there was no ordinance that said thou shalt do this. It was just sort of an understanding
mm-hmm.
between police department officials and policymakers and city
mm-hmm.
managers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people around the country, you know, would sort of lambast Cambridge, the People's Republic, whatever. But
I mean, things were tense. I mean, you had Bush was a, you know, in the Iraq War, but now we have Trump, so I think it's made it
it's sort of a sense of urgency, I think, in a lot of people.
Things happening with ICE and the border and all
that. Right. So rather than just pass another sanctuary city
mm-hmm.
resolution, and I think the term sanctuary city has become loaded.
Oh, my God, yes.
So it's now become, they're referring to it as welcoming community ordinance.
Yeah.
And I believe there's something at the State House which was sort of similar language,
uh-huh.
and spacing out a little bit
yeah.
on the naming of that. But basically what it's trying to do is to say that not only as a matter of policy from a city council, but as a matter of ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
This is the law.
This is what the police can do.
Police can do, can't do, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what made it difficult, because they went through some ordinance committee hearings about this, is that there was a difficulty in that you really shouldn't be passing a local ordinance that explicitly contradicts federal law.
Right.
Now there's right ways and wrong ways to do that. Like
mm-hmm.
if you modify your menu ordinance to say, we'll do whatever the federal government says, then you might as well not have passed anything.
Right. But if you say we're going to do this, and this, except in cases where federal law trumps it.
I think as the police commissioner was
mm-hmm.
was asked to explain mm-hmm. many times
yeah.
to counselors who didn't seem
yeah.
to be hearing him, is that this is really just a matter of making the statement of the law consistent
mm-hmm.
so that, because if the federal government cannot mandate you as a local municipality to start keeping and tracking people's immigrant status, because
mm-hmm.
that's not your job.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sort of say, no, we don't have to track that. They can't oblige you to turn it over things. But the thing is that...
They can't force you?
I mean, maybe they can.
I thought
that's
the whole point of saying accepting.
Right, but as Randall Bard said,
mm-hmm.
Says we don't actually even keep statistics on that, so
mm-hmm.
we've got nothing to turn over.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can't sort of just mandate that you know, if we reach the point where the federal government is reaching
mm-hmm.
down and telling
mm-hmm.
every police department and every school department everywhere,
mm-hmm. turn over you
will keep records on blood.
Well,
type
what if it's not even records? What if they actually say, "I want to see how many students here were born in another country"? Can they ask that?
I don't know. You know, and the thing is that if they ask that, that's not really fundamentally a problem, because the presumption should be that many of those people from other countries actually came here.
But you're giving them a
legal
name, and I think that's part of the issue of this whole thing
right.
came up. It's like you're providing them.
If they raise a question and they say, well, and how many of the students in your public schools are actually so-called illegal immigrants?
Yeah, right.
well,
we don't know that.
And I say,
we don't ask.
We don't know. We don't keep records of that.
Right.
So, and then that's completely legally defensible.
Yeah.
But what I found kind of interesting in the rhetoric, and it was honestly, it was totally predictable that it was going to happen, was the degree to which some city councilors were kind of going to use this as an opportunity to kind of start soapboxing about how much we despise the federal government. And fine, we can dislike what immigration officials are doing, you know, and you can make a speech about it, that's all well and good. But the thing is that, you know, you don't want to be basically putting it into a local ordinance, a statement that we will hereby refuse to comply with
the federal
law. No, but
that's not, but wait a minute, in fairness, that's not what they were asking to do. They just said, don't put in that statement except where federal. And then they wanted to put in that specific law. I thought that was somewhat reasonable.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
So they said, all right, rather than leave it be open-ended, so that we will absolutely agree to comply with any federal law.
Well, because in one of the paragraphs, it did have the specific law, and he just wanted it to be in another one.
Yeah. So
But they didn't vote on that. And then they went to the original language, which basically just says the federal government. So
I have to say the city council didn't exactly impress the viewership.
Yeah.
In their goings around about this.
I think some were confused by
some
what.
Some were very confused.
Because Sondra said, well, why are you putting in an amendment if you're not going to vote for it? But I understood what he was doing.
No, I did too. But it is a little perplexing when somebody says, I would like to make the following motion to change the language
to
so and so.
Even though I don't agree with
it. And when the vote is taken, then he's the one person
who
votes against it.
But I understood that. But
it's not totally crazy.
It came
crazy.
Down to the fact that the city solicitor said, look, because I guess it was your, whatever, challenged it. Well, on the state level, they're going to just let the government challenge them on it, and then. But then some people say, "Well, then that's going to hold up the law right now if we put it in."
If
you're kind of covering yourself, even though eventually they could challenge it whether you put it in or not. So I just thought.
I actually kind of thought the city solicitor was pretty right on about pretty much everything she said.
So then,
as is usually the case.
So the amendments then did not get put in. Is that how I understand it? Did they get put in?
I have to say it became so chaotic at some point that I finally said, look, they're going to do something. I'll read about it later. You know, ultimately, I don't think
what's interesting is that the ACLU, who usually is the barometer of like what's really, you know.
They were totally okay with the proposal.
Okay with it. So I figured, my gosh, if they're okay with it, I'm sorry. I'm going to go along with that.
You know, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think that therefore I would conclude that a lot of the pontification.
Yeah.
From certain councilors was really there for the sake of pontification.
Well, it was to point out we have a horrible administration, and this is just. But we know that, so I think this is better than nothing, and it won't be challenged. It's a certain, maybe
then,
it will be, but it's not going to be challenged because of.
As the city solicitor said, we want to have a law we can implement today.
Exactly.
And not have one that's subject to legal challenge, and therefore we cannot implement it at all.
But so it did pass, but it's interesting because Toomey said no on it because I think he was confused. Maybe. Because I think he.
Yeah. One of the things I think is worth just mentioning, kind of tangentially, is that there was a lot of procedural confusion amongst our new council.
Oh, about the charter.
So what happened? So here's the situation. You've got a piece of old business, namely this welcoming community ordinance. That's basically gone through the process.
Right. But it's got some new amendments. Amended language.
So it was sent out of committee.
Yeah.
But with the understanding that the ordinance committee chairs and the city solicitor. And the ACLU lawyer, we're going to kind of work out some proposed modifications, but this is timely, so let's actually move it to the full city council. It was passed to a second reading. It is as old business can get,
but with modification.
It is just old business.
The
modifications were basically some proposed amendments that were being brought in the night of ordination.
Right, so they didn't have a chance to be discussed.
But that's the time to discuss it. So the thing is that Councilor Zondervan says, well, the old business is what it is, but I'm going to exercise my charter right on this.
Should go to committee again to talk about these amendments.
Right.
He felt there wasn't enough time.
So then he says, so I'm going to exercise my right on the charter to sort of stop all discussion on that. And the clerk, I have to say, because I think he's a great man, but the thing is, he incorrectly ruled as parliamentarian that in fact that charter right was in order, when in fact it isn't. I mean, and if you think about it, it's sort of obvious why it can't possibly be. If you think about it, if you have a matter, a zoning petition, let's say, Mm-hmm. And it's put there, and its deadline is tomorrow, and mm-hmm. it's right there. They're about to ordain it. Mm-hmm. And then somebody says, I'd like to change that this provision.
But this did not have a deadline, which is...
Well, that's true. That's true. But the point is that if you were allowed to exercise your charter right
on
a proposed amendment,
right.
then if Councillor Joshmo comes in and says, well, I think we ought to change that height limit from 35 feet to 34 feet,
And then you happen to be
a councillor who didn't want the zoning petition to change at all. Yeah. You would say, charter right, exercise it, stop discussion, mm-hmm. and basically you could...
It dies.
Could, well, it wouldn't necessarily die, but the thing is you would not be able to do any improvements on the matter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, basically, if every time somebody proposes a modification, mm-hmm. that one councillor can just say, stop discussion...
Yeah.
We'd be doing that every week, so that's never been what the charter said.
So the
clerk made an error.
Yeah.
The city solicitor said, well, I'm not the parliamentarian,
but she did say it's a gray area. She was being kind of kind there.
And then eventually Sumble, who did a great job as mayor, she called a recess, said, look, this is obviously something we're not going to be sort of yelling across the room saying who understands this. So let's get together. Next thing you know, it's the mayor, city clerk, city solicitor up there consulting, and then when all was said and done, clerk came back and he gave the opposite ruling, which was the correct ruling.
So then they voted on these different amendments, and eventually, so it did pass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it did pass.
I
mean,
with the original language.
Yeah, the point is that some version of this was going to pass either unanimously or near unanimously anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know why they had to lose their
minds.
I'm
still confused which passed, though. The old one or the one that was brought in?
You know,
I still don't know.
Such a small change, really.
Well,
that I
not to some people, except
I know.
Okay.
But anyway, so it was pretty wacky and wild. So
That took about 45 minutes.
I think it was kind of like the biggest.
It was
the biggest item.
There's no other real.
Yeah, I think the largest. Actually, I wasn't there for all the public comment,
But the largest part was about the Indian citizenship thing, which is a serious matter.
You know, it's just like I remember when Marjorie Egan called me up because it was a
Marjorie
city count.
Egan.
Yeah, she called me up and I got quoted in an article.
Really?
Or on a radio show some years ago because it was
RKO,
there was a city council order, so basically calling for like the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. And,
oh my goodness.
And I'm thinking, well, yeah, great. You know, hey, I'm sure those like freedom fighters in Libya are like going, hey, looky here, hot off the press.
Well,
you know?
Didn't we have the whole nuclear thing?
It's a city council order.
We had the whole nuclear thing years ago.
The
nuclear referendum and the, I mean,
it's one thing if it's a referendum or a statement that's something that's sort of implementable locally. It's another thing if it's just sort of.
But
like
you know
a
what?
Shout-out.
I do think though in this instance, in this one, it's because is he a prime minister, president of India? He is a lot like Trump.
Yeah.
And this is coming from prejudice. It's coming, and so I think that in this
case, I don't disagree.
I think there was a saying like we need to make it known that we don't agree with this because really the same thing's going on here.
Right.
I mean, it's subtle. But it's going on here. We keep adding countries that you can't come in here.
I mean, I would say the only real relevance to Cambridge is that there's a contingent of people.
Yeah,
in
it was
Cambridge
amazing to see these incredible people
raising
that,
issues. And,
right, Indian, Pakistan.
Right, so this is really more of a statement.
And
of
our
support
mayor is
to,
her parents are.
Right, but I think this is really more a statement of support.
Right, but it's it's asking the state delegation to go on record to oppose this and to hopefully reach.
Yeah.
The federal government. So
and
in
I'm
this
sure
case,
will,
but I do think it's funny that you said we should have a
foreign policy committee.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did actually have a government operations and rules committee meeting a week or something ago. I didn't make it there to discuss possible amendments to the rules.
Oh, I actually read the notes on that.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I read the notes. The main thing was who put in what?
Usually the changes that they
want
to
allow public
comment.
Well, I was going to sit through the meeting, but
they want to reduce public comment to 2 minutes. Is that
No. It was more like why do they have to repeat their name again? It takes up the time of the 3 minutes, and why can't a communication be put into the agenda that day or that night, whatever? instead of waiting to the following week, which I sort of agree. I mean, I know you have to post them, but still, it could be like late orders, I think.
Right.
What was the other one? I thought it was Alana's, because she couldn't be there. Read the transcript.
No, because, I'll get to it.
They went through it rule by rule with the city council, and I wasn't about to sit through 2 hours of that.
Yeah,
I just was
boring.
Interested in the ones that actually got discussed.
Anyway, my wisecrack joke was that, you know, because the city council standing committees are actually a part of the city council rules.
Uh-huh.
It's a section of it, right?
Yeah.
So I said they should modify the rules to create a foreign policy
committee. Oh, I know what. Malin's was interesting. She wants a separate committee for arts and celebration. She doesn't think it should be part of the neighborhood long-term planning.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
This is the first time hearing it, and I agree with that. The city councilors, those overworked city councilors, because don't you know, the job has changed so much since 1941.
They need a full-time aide.
No, it hasn't.
They need a full-time aide now. Let's not even go into that.
They need not only a research assistant,
full-time.
But then it was an aide. Then it was an aide with full-time benefits.
So does that mean their salary is going to be the same as the councilors?
Oh, and...
Because it's $48,000 now for supposedly part-time.
Private offices they want. Legislative assistants. They want
And that. They don't want legislative.
They call their aides legislative assistants sometimes.
Right, well then that's why
You know, it's absurd in my view. It's always been absurd. I actually always agreed that city council committees should have adequate support staff because it's the committees that are the ones who are doing the background work or should be. Uh-huh. Basically what happens with city council aides, first off, virtually everyone, I don't know if it is of all the ones, I don't even know who all the individuals are today.
Yeah.
But it is generally the rule, not the exception, that you become a city councilor because you are an integral part of the political campaign of your councilor. So it is political patronage. I know, it's political patronage.
You're going to go with who you know.
Right. And the thing is one of the primary functions, in my humble opinion, of city council aides is to basically be flack catchers for their councilors so that they basically, if somebody says something negative about councilor so-and-so, they've got basically their eyes and ears out there with their aide who are basically sort of intervening and they're doing stand-ins for their council or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, fundamentally, city council aides are supporting the political future
of their
candidates.
They're usually doing the website, making sure. To me, it's more administrative.
Right. But, city councilor's website, well, what is that? Is
well,
it their
that's
legislative
up to
website or their political campaign website? I don't think they could possibly get away with doing a political campaign
website. Not a website, but it's a newsletter.
So they do a newsletter, right?
Yeah,
but, you know,
a lot of them do that.
You know, every legislator from Congress people on down, you know, your legislative newsletter is basically a publicly funded campaign piece, and it has always been that way. They call
but
that
they're not
franking
running for election.
Privileges.
They're already elected, so what's the difference?
I know. But
so it's a legislative aide. Call it what it is. It's council, whatever. I don't know.
You know, it's an incumbency protection program. It's always been, and it'll always will be.
Okay, so, well, that's another. All right, so you agree with the art of the other.
Oh, yeah, no. What I was going to say was that we used to have a lot more city council subcommittees. In fact, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I just as a little bit of a hobby, I actually have like annual reports of the city of Cambridge going back through the 1800s.
That's why you can't get into part of your house.
No. Actually, I picked up a few more recently on eBay. But the thing is that if you look at the reports of city council in the 1930s, let's say, you'll see they had committees on printing. So they could actually be in charge of publications. They had a committee on rules, a separate committee on rules, and a separate committee on streets. They have a separate committee on this and that. Okay, now the planning charter came in 1941. Some things had to change because a lot of those responsibilities were passed to the city manager.
Right.
Sure. So you change things. But if you look over the many years, you do see a real shifting around. What happened several council terms ago is they went into this massive consolidation to reduce to like, what is it, about eight or so committees?
Right.
You know,
so
and
they kind of combined some things.
Yeah.
That were
a
little crazy.
So now you have the neighborhood and they used to have the
long-term planning and development and arts and celebration.
When they created the neighborhood and long-term planning committee, I thought, well, that makes sense. That basically dovetails into planning concerns, and should I always feel they should be paired with city departments.
Yeah.
So if there is a planning department or a community development department, there ought to be a committee that basically focuses on long-term planning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If there's a Cambridge Arts Council, right? And you know, so there is a basically that there's a public celebrations budget.
Mm-hmm.
That we should have an arts and celebrations committee that works hand in hand, developing policy, hopefully that can be implemented with those.
Mm-hmm.
But then they started this crazy consolidation. So, you know, there's traffic and transportation, public utilities and cable TV and anything else involving hardware.
Yeah.
I mean,
then there's the economic and economic
well,
is
they joined economic development and university relations.
Right.
Those used to be two separate ones.
Yeah, that... Yeah,
honestly, they weren't meeting the university relations ones anyway, so sure, I can understand some consolidation. But what's the other one? It's the Neighborhood Long-Term Planning Arts and Celebration Committee.
Yeah.
I mean, why are those together?
Yeah, so
they
that should
be
separate. So I don't know what... I just... And the other Zondervan one, which actually makes sense, he said that the quorum for the smaller committees should go from 2 to 3 people, because otherwise only a couple people get to decide, and that... For committees of five.
Right,
it should be
remember,
at least 3.
There's nothing that happens in committee that's binding.
True.
But the thing is typically more as a courtesy, I say.
Yeah.
I think. If the committee reports out and says this is our recommendation, as long as it's not heinous, the council might very well just implement it and support it, you know.
Yeah.
But I've always felt that these committees should be more substantive. And if there is to be any extra bodies, like aides, legislative aides, they should be assigned to the committees.
Good point.
And if you are...
They should work together more instead
of
little fiefdoms.
And if
you
happen to be the chair of that committee, then you have much more access to this legislative aide who you're working with your committee.
Right.
This notion that you have this person here who's taking your phone calls and picking up your laundry and doing whatever, that's
so
ridiculous.
Actually, so what you're saying is the aide should have been more to aid the council as a whole
and
work
committees.
With the committees.
Yes.
That would make sense, but I don't think they're ever going to change.
No, they're never going to change because
it's
like, you can't take the dish away from the dog. You know,
they're only going to increase it, which I just have issues with that. But
no, I think they'll do that too. But, you know, there's been this steady trend over the last 20 years where... you know, it used to be if you worked in City Hall and you got there early in the morning, you park behind City Hall. Mm-hmm. Well, now most of those parking spaces in our We Hate Cars era, right? Those parking spaces are now reserved for city councilors, whether they're there or not, or whether they have a car or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now if I'm a person who's working in a printing office down in the basement and I can't park there because it has to be left open for a councilor who's not going to be there.
It should only be on Mondays.
It should, and it used to be except Mondays. Mondays was the day that it was reserved,
right?
You know, other than that, the councilors could just have to park in the neighborhood. And by the way, all those councilors had little placards they popped on their dash, and if they parked at a metered space, they were good to go. City business.
Or they can just take the subway or walk. Or take their bikes.
Or take their bikes, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there has been a trend. So you know, with
and
every
that's
passing
supposed to be
year,
a part-time position, too, but that's a joke. Counselor. I mean, some do treat it as a full-time job, fine, but I think in this day and age, and I know the average median income is very high in Cambridge, however, they get paid very well, plus they have other jobs.
Exactly. So I just think this is wrong-headed, but there is a bit of a history, because then this relates to another issue, too, which is that whenever a city manager's contract is going to be up for a vote, that becomes a time where if you are an elected official and you would like some additional benefits, where you know that it is just a little itty-bitty more likely that the manager might want to
because they
be
want
nice
to
you.
Yeah.
Right? So the thing is, so if should you therefore, when the city manager is expressing his desire to have a contract extension, wouldn't that be a nice time to suggest that you got full-time aides plus
what is part-time anyway? Is it 30 hours? Maybe it's 30 hours.
It's more than the minimum to get the health
benefits. It's more than 20, right? So because you're getting health benefits,
yes, exactly.
Which are worth at least $8,000 to $10,000 a year.
Right. So the order requesting, calling for looking into the possibility of extending, but it was in exactly the same meeting agenda as
February 3rd.
The letter from Louis DePasquale saying
I
would like a contract extension. I don't think that's much of a coincidence.
Well, whatever. We'll see what happens.
And the reason why I say that, by the way, is that it's happened before.
Mm.
It happened when they did a 23% increase in salary for city councilors. when
Ooh,
they
in fr- one year
one shot yeah
oh my goodness
and did away with the need to ever vote your salary increases again to make them automatic. You know, there was mayor elections where, in fact, in order for to elect somebody mayor, there was pretty obviously an understanding that out of the mayor's office budget, they would fund aides for all the various councillors. And then one particular mayor was elected mayor, basically with that understanding. And then later in the year, then that got rolled into the city council budget.
Oh, you mean originally it was supposed to be out of the mayor? Oh.
It was originally...
And now they have like five positions or something in the mayor's office, right?
Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of sort of shenanigans. Listen, wouldn't we all love to have assistance? You know, wouldn't it be great? I have not seen any compelling evidence that this makes these councillors better councillors.
Yeah.
And I also would say that if you're talking about city councils going back over many, many, many decades, you know, like even during the rent control years or whatever, it's not like these councillors were basically just sort of showing up, having a, you know, having a sandwich and a coffee and going home. I mean, they were working as serious city councillors through all of those
years. But
there
really is no accountability. I mean, you're only accountable to your counselor if you're an aide. I like your idea of having them have to work together. And maybe some do. I mean, maybe there is some
Listen, for the better counselors, like Craig Kelly's counselor was Will Durbin.
What happened?
He worked with Craig in his initiatives as his chair of
various committees. What happened to Craig's aide? Is he someone's aide this year?
Will Durbin was then working in the mayor's
office. Well, I know that. He became chief of staff. Okay.
Will is moving to Ohio, I believe.
No!
No. Good guy.
Good for him.
I bet
there's family there.
And he's
Otherwise, why would you go to Ohio?
Two kids.
I hate to say it.
It'd be great, yeah. You know, but, you know, the... Anyway, I don't actually remember who Will... Actually, I do sort of remember his aide before, and I don't know whether,
because he helped with
if you're a legislative aide there, you're tied to the individual. If the individual is gone, you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, unless you happen to have impressed one of the other councilors.
Well, until Will is not gone, is he now Mark's aide?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, anyway, I think if you tie them more to the actual work of the committees, there may be a little bit more.
I think it's a great idea. Let's see where it goes.
It'll go nowhere, but I still think it's a great
idea. All
right,
we're running out of time.
Anyway, see you next week on Cambridge Inside Out.
It's a holiday. Maybe not. We'll see.
All right.